The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Wacky Wednesday on the Arrowhead Attic channel. As always, I'm Adam Best, joined by the golden voice of Sterling Holmes and producer Richard, doing his things behind the scenes. How's the offseason treating you, Sterling? You bored
yet?
Good,
man. Yes. Football, very, very bored. But all in all, things are fun over here. Golf game coming into swing.
Party there you fun. Go.
I'm feeling good, man. Went to the pool once already this year. Can't complain.
Yeah, I've been like three or four times, man. I'm loving it.
I can't complain at all. How you been?
I'm good. I'm a little bored as a mostly football fan at this point. As I've gotten older, you know, when I was very young, I liked baseball, and then I quit that. And then I quit watching college football, and then I quit watching the NBA. And now it is just like almost strictly NFL. So This is a boring time for me.
Yeah, at least we have talk with the PGA, LIV, DP World Tour, NBA Finals Game 3 is tonight, which I will be watching. I'm still a big baseball guy, but let's be real. The Royals are two scoops. You know what? No, the Royals are three scoops of ass. There is so much ass going on. The Royals are just – they're absolute just buns, dude. They are buns. Ooh. So, yes, trying to find info coming out of OTAs is about all I am living for right now, that and golf. But before we get into all things Chiefs related, everyone listening right now, if you guys want to do us a huge solid, if you like Adam, if you like me, if you hate us but still want to support the podcast, go to Caesars Sportsbook and use code ARROWFULL. It's ARROWFULL. And get your first bet on Caesars up to $1,250 on any sport. The offer is only available for new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer. Again, code ARROWFULL at Caesars Sportsbook. If you want to win some money, if you want to have some fun, Game 3 NBA is tonight. It'd be a good time to throw some money on it. You want to throw some money on the Heat, throw some money on the Nugs. Now is the time. First bet on Caesars up to $1,250 on any sport. And if you already have Caesars, you can head to arrowheadaddict.com/bets to find more betting offers and ways to support the podcast.
The other thing you can do to help us is if you're listening to this on the Arrowhead Addict podcast feed, please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel, because over on YouTube, you can get a lot of shorts, a lot of things that we don't offer anywhere else. And it's maybe the thing that will help the business out the most. So please consider doing that. With that said, Sterling, we are bringing back a show favorite, the KC stock market pump or dump. Are you ready to chop it up?
Let's do it, baby.
All right. First off, we're going to start with a couple of hot rumors. A Chase Young or Daniil Hunter trade is a smarter use of capital than signing DeAndre Hopkins. So SI's Albert Breer reported, I believe yesterday or the day before, that the Commanders are open to listening. What, always a strange phrase, like open to listening on Young. And Ian Rappaport said the same thing today about Hunter and the Vikings. So what do you think? Bring in a younger edge preferable to chasing that Hopkins past production?
Well, let me lay this out really quickly. In the grand scheme of things, I would say yes. I would say pump without a question. But what it comes down to now is, to acquire DeAndre Hopkins, you're not giving up any draft capital. You're not paying both debit and credit, right? To acquire Hunter or Chase Young, you got to pay basically debit and credit. those guys want extensions, especially Chase Young, obviously, going into his last year of his rookie deal. His fifth-year option was not picked up. You got to give something to get him and then double down. That makes me wary. I like Chase Young, but he's not stayed healthy. There's a reason why Washington is listening to offers. There's a reason why Minnesota is listening to offers. Minnesota was a playoff team last year. The NFC is horrible, and they're listening to offers on one of their best pass rushers. That gives me some question marks over here, right? What is going on that we don't know? In your mind, what do you think it would cost to bring in a Hunter as far as trade capital? Yeah. What would it cost to bring in Hunter? What would it cost to acquire Chase Young?
Chase Young, I think, is going to be a little less expensive despite his draft capital because he hasn't been able to stay on the field. Also, if you look at the Commanders, they have to they probably want to sign Montez Sweat over him because he's similar production, but he's stayed healthy. They've already paid Daron Payne and some other defensive linemen. So I think it's either trade him or let him walk because I just don't think they have the cap room to franchise him with what they're spending on their defensive line. I could be wrong. And if he has an amazing season for them, a superstar type season, they'll find a way. But I think third, fourth ballpark for him. And if it's a fourth, even just renting him for a year, if he turns out to be pretty damn good and potentially that helping us win a championship, because here's how I'm coming at this. Without Dunlap, without Frank Clark, there's a lot of potential on this defensive line, but there's not a lot of security. There's a lot of unknowns. Karloftis, I know you're high on him, turned it up a little bit at the end of last season, still an unknown. FAU is a complete unknown. Charles Omenihu never played a real snap in Kansas City. He's looked great in a smaller sample size. Will that kind of, will expanded work, will he keep that high level of play up if he gets a bigger role? And in today's NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles showed us the blueprint. You win partially by having a monster defensive line rotation that keeps these guys fresh and healthy and turns up the pressure at all times. The other thing,
until you get stonewalled in the Super Bowl by the Chiefs, but yeah.
Well, you come up against the demigod, and that's what happens. But think about where Brett Beach has spent, okay? Has he spent on corner? No, he has not. He's let corners walked away. I mean, that's been his MO there. Has he spent on receiver? He just let Tyreek walk away. He just let Mecole Hardman and Juju walk away. He hasn't bit on either Odell or DeAndre Hopkins. And he's spent a third rounder trading for Kadarius Toney and two twos on Rashee Rice and Sky Moore. But he is willing to spend on the offensive line and defensive line. That's where I think he wants to spend. And there's nothing he loves more than a reclamation project, which I don't think Danielle Hunter is. But Chase Young is very much a first round pick that hasn't worked out quite as anticipated. And there's nothing he loves more than that. Right.
I will say this, Danielle Hunter had double digit sacks last year, but both have had a long litany list of injuries already in their careers. That does make me a little nervous. Again, paying debit and credit. That's the only reason why I'm saying dump. If it's a fourth rounder for a rental, yeah, I'm fine with that. But if you start talking about third, second, to bring in one of these guys and you can't get a deal done long-term, I am out. I'm actually pretty optimistic about the state of the defensive line for Kansas City. I think about halfway through the year, you're going to see a noticeable improvement, especially from guys like Charles, FAU. I think Karloftis is going to look like a 9, 10, 11 sack type of player this season. Normally I would say pump, but because you have to give draft capital, and I guess maybe I think the draft capital is going to be higher than you do, I'm going to dump.
Yeah. I think on Hunter, it could be a second rounder, or at least like they get a second rounder and we get a fifth or sixth, something like that. If the choices are going this route or giving $15 million to DeAndre Hopkins, I'm pumping all day long.
I want none. And that's my options.
I think both these guys do have true superstar potential. The mistake we made with Frank Clark is making a superstar trade for a guy that did not have superstar potential. That's on us.
Danielle Hunter is 1 year younger than Frank Clark. So if we're talking about potential, about a guy who's 28 years old, I'm out.
I think he's a superstar right now. I mean, he was a great player last year. I mean, he had his PFF grade was like 87 or something. He's a really good player. And I think maybe the injuries here can get you a discount. And that's what I'd be looking for.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We'll move on because, I'm not going to be upset, but as long as you get a long-term extension done with either of those two guys and it does not keep you from re-signing a LeJarius Sneed, a Creed Humphrey, then I'm fine. That's where it comes down to. I think those guys are the priority for me. I'm more bullish on the defensive line for Kansas City than I think you are. But new edge, Charles Omenihu will be the breakout player for the 2023 Kansas City defense. Pump or dump?
Yeah, I'm going to pump just because I think this is like Spag's dream player. Just a powerful freak with go-go gadget arms that is a better pass rusher when you kick him inside on second and third along than he is outside. I think Spagnuolo will know just how to use this guy. He had more quarterback hits than Frank Clark last year and way less snaps, pass rushing snaps. His win rate was a little bit higher than Chris Jones's. Now, Chris Jones gets double teamed more than any player in the NFL. And Charles Omenihu plays alongside guys like Nick Bosa. So take that with a grain of salt. But he is a very, very potent pass rusher, especially from the inside. There was a reason a lot of smart people in NFL media circles thought this was the most underrated signing per dollar in the entire free agency this year.
Yeah, I'll go a slight pump here. I'm not quite as enchanted by him as you are. I need to see more. again, he didn't start, he didn't play a ton of snaps last year overall. He played in all 17 games, which is great, but he didn't start. He started, I think, in three is what the breakdown was. He had 4.5 sacks. I need to see a little bit more before I'm all in on him having a complete breakout. I like the thought of him being a souped-up Mike Dana in the NASCAR package. He's 6'5", he's 280. I love the underlying analytics, but I do need to see a little bit more. I'll be a slight pump. If he gets around 7 sacks this year, I'd be pretty happy.
You know me and sacks, man. I'm more interested in the pressures, the quarterback hits, how much he's winning, because I think the sacks are – they're just a little up and down. There's a lot of variance there, right? And I think he played more like a guy that should have 8 or 10 sacks if he gets the playing time and can be. I don't know how you're going to block him when he's rushing the passer next to Chris Jones. I mean, that is just going to be a nightmare for opposing offensive coordinators because he's just too powerful with those long arms for guards to handle.
Yeah. Either way, I think the Chiefs defensive line, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be pretty darn good. I think it's going to be a lot better. Again, first half of the year, I'm nervous. I'm not going to front. First half of the year, whatever happens, we're going to see. Second half of the year, watch out. This group might be filthy. But
we could use another body, though. I want another body before the offseason's over. And Leonard Floyd going to Buffalo, man. That was a good signing by them. I have to say they got a good bargain. It was something like $9 million, right? Yeah. 1 year.
Yeah. Yannick Ngakoue is still out there, but that's going to be a more expensive pickup if I had to imagine. Casey Stock Market Pump or Dump. Miami adding superstar Jalen Ramsey and legendary defensive coordinator Vic Fangio turns the AFC's Big Three into the AFC's Big Four. Pump or Dump.
Man, I'm just a pumping fool today, but I am really high on Miami. I think they have a chance to win the AFC East. I really do, because now it's going to depend on a few things. Teron Armstead, their left tackle, needs to stay healthy. But I like that they brought in Isaiah Wynn from the Patriots as sort of an insurance plan, a swing tackle there. And then Tua. It all comes down to Tua's health. If he's right, you look at Mike McDaniel and what he did with Tua, and then you think back to his mentor, Kyle Shanahan, in San Francisco. Last year, the Brock Purdy-Jimmy Garoppolo tandem was top 5 in EPA per play. Nobody else can do that, except maybe Mike McDaniel, who had Tua in that same range. And I'm looking at Tua as a souped-up, you said souped-up, so that's in my brain, but a souped-up Jimmy Garoppolo with a little bit more natural raw talent. And you just think about the speed on that offense. And then you look at Jalen Ramsey, the best cornerback in the league, hands down, over the past decade. And I think because of his size, because of his intelligence, he will be able to, if he slows down, play some safety. And then Vic Fangio, say what you will about him as a head coach, not a good head coach, but one of the most, I think, influential defensive coordinators of the modern era. I mean, all this too high stuff that made the Chiefs change their offensive identity, that originated with him. So I think that defense is going to take a huge step forward. That offense is going to be lethal. And quite frankly, I think Buffalo has some fatal flaws. I just think that they're not very good at coming up with tailor-made game plans defensively in the playoffs. Their offensive line, I don't like it. Josh Allen tends to implode when the pressure gets dialed up. So I think they are susceptible.
I am so far dumping this. I think they're the third best team in the AFC East. I'm out, man. I get what you're saying. Tua Tagovailoa and that offense was good last year. That defense was an absolute train wreck. It was one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Jalen Ramsey, they have some guys. They went out and got Bradley Chubb. I understand their defense should be better because it's probably not going to be that bad as it was last year. But I think their offense also might take a step back. I don't trust Tua. That was probably his peak. I have no idea, injury concern-wise, what he's going to look like. I can't put all my eggs in that basket. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills have some flaws, but the main flaw is your quarterback, at least in my opinion, for the Dolphins. That's a bigger flaw than anything the Buffalo Bills have. So I'm out. I'm dumping hard. And I frankly think they have a worse record than the New York Jets. The New York Jets who play in Jersey, by the way. That always pisses me off. Like, come on. How can you claim to be the greatest city in the world and both of your football teams play a state over?
Yeah, I guess there's just not room, having spent a lot of time in New York, for a football stadium. But I'm so out on the Jets. I think this is going to be just an implosion because they are setting Aaron Rodgers up to really do whatever the hell he wants. And I think that was the problem before LaFleur came in to Green Bay and got him like, no, dude, we're going to do motion. You're going to do all these things that you don't want to do because it's just good football. We're going to rein you in and put in some guardrails. I have predicted that the Packers will win more games than the Jets, and I'm staying true to that. I really believe it. So we could not be more polar opposites on this one, right?
We are far off, but maybe on Hot Take Kingdom, we won't be. Bringing us to our next segment, Hot Take Kingdom. Adam is going to come up with a hot take, and we will decide, are we coming into the kingdom with him, or are we saying, no, Adam, that was a stupid idea. That's a horrible take. I want nothing to do with it. We will end the segment with a poll where all of our viewers, all of our listeners, all you guys can vote on whether you guys agree or disagree with Adam's hot take. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first off, it's good for Hot Take Kingdom to be back. Yeah. Secondly, I'm going to bribe the viewers by saying we have Q39 in the castle. We have Jack Stack. We have Gates, if that's your speed.
It's hypothetical. You'll never see it. Trust me, guys. He's done this to me all the time. He always tells me there's some in there. He always goes, hey, Sterling, there's a beef nooner from Gage with extra hot barbecue sauce in here and some extra crispy fries. Guess what? Yet to see it. It's all hypothetical. Don't let him sway you that way.
Do let me. This week's Hot Take Kingdom is Steve Spagnuolo is the most underrated ingredient in the Chiefs championship formula. Welcome to the kingdom. So I kind of had a little rant on Twitter about Spags, and then I got this idea from one of my followers, Juan, AKA at Texas24Nerd. Good follow, always has insightful responses to my stuff. So here's the breakdown of Chiefs defenses under Spags before the bye week and then after the bye week, plus during the playoffs. So keep in mind here that the latter half is skewed a little bit due to level of competition in the playoffs. So just keep that in the back of your mind. First, let's look at DVOA. Before the bye, during the 4 years of Spags, 2019, 2020, 21, and 22. Before the bye, they are 27th overall in DVOA. After the bye, 18th. Success rate. Before the bye, 25th. After the bye, despite the jump in competition for half of that, 17th. That gets even better during championship years. Success rate in 2019 and 2022 combined before the bye, 29th. After the bye, 9th. So that's in ranking, that is a 20 team jump there. Quite the jump. EPA per play before the bye during those 4 years, 22nd. After the bye, 18th. Not as big of a jump there, but if you go to EPA per play during those two championship runs combined, before the bye, you have 24th, and after the bye, you have 13th. You're seeing a pattern that he gets his teams playing when he needs to. Now, in 2018, under Bob Sutton, the Chiefs had the 24th ranked scoring defense. Upon Spags' arrival in 2019, he improved that to 7th. So, in my opinion, Chiefs Kingdom overrates our defensive talent a bit. All fan bases do it. You know, it's nothing we should feel bad about. I'm guilty of it too, because we watch more of our team than we do the rest of the league. We put our hopes and dreams on all these players, but
they underrate Tre'Davious Ward. I will die on that hill. Tre'Davious Ward is a stud. I will never hear Tre'Davious Ward slander. I'm not going to hear it. That's the only dude that Chiefs Kingdom, I think, underrated.
Oh, I think they underrate him big time. I never understand when people say he was bad. I think they're just thinking about the few times he got mossed by Ja'Marr Chase, who basically isn't human, right? He's from another planet. So no shame in getting mossed by Ja'Marr Chase. But the other thing here is, what's easier, to admit that your defense isn't as talented as you'd like it to be, or to put all the problems on one guy? And if you wave a magic wand and replace Spags with someone else, it's the, you know, it's the steel curtain back in the day, or the 2000 Patriots, or the, you know, 1985 Bears. It's easier to kind of do that. And outside of Tyrann Mathieu for first 2 years, definitely his first one, I mean, he was all pro both those years, I would say Chris Jones has been the only superstar level player. He's had a revolving door secondary of underrated young players and mercenary veterans. It's often one of the cheapest secondaries in the league. Last year, the unit had the league's second smallest cap hit. So that's something he has been saddled with figuring out every single year, is how to produce a good secondary, kind of like MacGyver a good secondary out of like spare parts. Now Trent McDuffie's a little bit of a break from that, but he hasn't played much yet, right? And then I would also keep in mind that opposing offenses are crazy aggressive against the Chiefs because they must keep up with Mahomes. How many times have we been sitting there watching games and teams go for it on fourth and five, fourth and six, fourth and seven. You're like, I cannot believe this shit. This doesn't happen to other teams. It only happens to us. I don't know about you guys. I feel like that all the time. And I watch a lot of the rest of the league and I know it to be true. So I'd argue that an aggressive mad scientist is the perfect match for Mahomes, given that his explosive production allows for more aggression by the defense, right? I think that's a good marriage, those two. Spags treats the first half of the season as a lab where he can integrate and experiment. Then by the second half of the year, he knows exactly how to use his players and has a bespoke game plan for each playoff matchup. That is when I think he's at his best. Lastly, he's tremendous at dialing up clutch moments. So whether it was Chris Jones kicking out to Edge on that pivotal third down against the Bengals, or that well-timed Willie Gay blitz that made the Eagles punt to Kadarius Toney, he knows what he's just got so much experience and so many tools in his back. He's been in so many of these big moments. Keep in mind that he was the architect of the defense that ruined Tom Brady's perfect season. So he is battle tested. He has been in a lot of wars and he knows what buttons to push when. I blabbed enough, Sterling. You've heard my case. Should we lower the castle gates or should we keep them up?
First thing, I think Brian has a good point in the chat. Joe Cullen was the key to the Super Bowl. But the thing with Joe Cullen is he the most underrated part? I actually talked about the success, and I think Chiefs fans talk about how good Joe Cullen is a lot. I mean, no one's ever said a bad word about Joe Cullen. And so for that reason, I'm in. Lower the gates. I do think it's the most underrated part of the Chiefs championship formula. Half the fan base wants him fired. They won the Super Bowl. They've won two now, and you'll still see about probably, 10% of the fan base saying Spags needs to go.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing. He has a game plan. You know what it is. It's basically, we're vanilla offense the first 10 games of the year, and then we turn it on. He gets everyone acclimated. He's had to do it with a lot of moving pieces, a lot of rookies. Not the most investment by any means on this defensive side of the ball, but he gets it done. We always talk about L'Jarius Sneed. He was a fourth rounder. No, this is not all Spags getting the best out of these guys. You got to give credit to the secondary coaches, this, that, and the other. I understand that. But last year was a first rounder, McDuffie, who was injured, a fourth rounder, L'Jarius Sneed, a fourth rounder in Joshua Williams, a seventh rounder in Jalen Watson. And they were a good secondary. He needs some credit, and folks want him gone? Look at the edge situation last year. It's not his fault that Frank Clark doesn't show up in the regular season. That's not on him. That was part of the game plan. You had Chris Jones last year, and then the second half of the year, Loftus finally came on. He doesn't have a full cupboard, and he was making it work last year. Again, you have to understand this. He will be bland first half of the year. It will be one of these situations where the numbers are never going to look outstanding because teams have to try, as you mentioned, to keep up with Kansas City and their offense. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to have a lot of offensive possessions because the Chiefs score so much, and they can score quickly. And they're trying to go for touchdowns, not field goals. They're good enough of the ball because they understand running against the Kansas City Chiefs is not the way to beat them consistently. You know all the numbers. The analytical numbers say the best way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs is to actually throw the ball. You got to beat them through the air. Spags is the most underrated part of the championship formula for the Kansas City Chiefs. I am 100% with you.
Awesome. Yeah, and you think about Bashaud Breeland. You think about Fuller. These guys have looked better in Kansas City than they've looked anywhere else. There's quite a few instances of that. Yeah. The other thing is, let's be honest, teams never sleepwalk against the Chiefs. That game is always circled. It's highlighted. We're always the hunted. You know, other teams, you know, beating us would be a huge feather in their cap. So that's another element of this. But you're right. I think we don't talk positively enough about Steve Spagnuolo, and we need to do more of it because a lot of it is all fans hear is the bitching about why is Sorensen playing? Why has Ben Neiman playing? We don't talk enough about the things he does well. Mm-hmm. And he's not perfect, but I will take him over what Buffalo's been doing in the playoffs, where they just line up, don't get creative, and basically say our guys are going to beat your guys, and it never works. Steve Spagnuolo, our defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo from the Bengals, they don't do that. You never know what they're going to catch you with.
Yep.
And I think in this AFC gauntlet of just super talented quarterbacks, you cannot just line up in the playoffs and be vanilla. And I'm okay with him saying, we have Mahomes. If we lose to the Colts, so be it. But most of the time, we're going to get to the bye week only losing a game or two, playing vanilla defense. And then frankly, I'm going to save my aces for the playoffs, right?
Wasn't his fault against the Colts, too. They got to score more points. Seriously. Come on. You got, what was it, 16? 19?
Yeah, and, whatever and, it was. And like, Trav caught, dropped a touchdown, I think. Sky Moore muffed a punt. So
Again, I'm not saying Spags is the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. I'm not saying he's more impactful than Andy Reid or Mahomes. What I am saying, he's the most underrated. I'm 100% with you, Adam. You got to talk more positively about a guy who has, what, three rings now as a defensive coordinator?
Right.
One with the Giants and now two with the Chiefs. That's not just doing it here in Kansas City. That's a tenured guy who knows what he is doing. Again, there will be instances where he pisses you off or you're seeing George Karloff just dropped into coverage. It's part of him being crazy, and at times, it's going to work.
Yeah, and this is a similar thing to Vic Fangio, who wasn't a good coach, head coach. Steve Spagnuolo was not a good head coach. Where did he get his opportunity? St. Louis, right? That did not work out, but that doesn't mean he's not one of the better defensive coordinators in the National Football League. There's not 10 guys, probably even 5 guys for this team that I'd rather have than him. Yeah. So I'm glad we're in agreement. I'm reminding myself to talk about Spags more in a positive light, because I think he kind of only gets mentioned when he does something wrong.
Hell, we saw the fire Spag stuff so much even during last year.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I got to give some more respect to Steve Spagnuolo. Plus, what a great accent. Just incredible. Before we get into our next segment, if you guys want to get some merchandise, we have you covered. Arrowhead Attic merch store is now live, and you can visit right now by clicking the link in the description below. Everything from shirts to hoodies to baby onesies and a pint glass. Pint glass is badass. And if you want to get it right now, before Sunday, if you use code Kelsey, you will get 20% off your order. Again, check out and use code Kelsey, get 20% off your order. It will expire by Sunday. So trying to give you guys a little bit of a, come on now. You got 4 days. You can't get a pint glass or a baby onesie in 4 days. That's on you. I'm trying to give you 20% off. But look at that bad boy. You're telling me you want a KC beer? You wouldn't want a martini in a pint glass like I sometimes do because I'm an idiot? Right there. You get that pint glass. You drink out of it. We also have coffee mugs and everything in between. So again, all your guys' support means the world to us, even just a like, anything like that. But if you do want to get some merchandise, we got that for you as well. All right, Adam. Let's do the next segment. What do you have for us?
This is kind of a wacky idea I had. First off, I don't like that we changed Ring of Honor to Hall of Honor. I just think Ring of Honor sounds cooler, but that's a minor gripe.
It's so Hall of Fame or Ring of Honor. Come on. We're not combining these bad boys.
No. I know you're going for the alliteration or something, or they're worried about running out of room on the stadium, you know, on the actual stadium concrete. But I don't like it, but it is Hall of Honor. So we're going to go with the Hall of Honor Battle Royal. So over the next decade, 10
isn't
Chiefs.
It Royale. I'm going to stop you, Best. I know I'm not a nerd like you. Isn't it Royale?
No, the movie is Battle Royale. The old wrestling contest was Battle Royal, where they'd have 20, 30, you know, all kinds of people in there. And whoever's the last man standing after throwing everybody out wins.
I don't know, man. Royale sounds way cooler, dude. Royale sounds way more upscale, badass.
So what Battle Royale is it's a Korean movie that I think the Hunger Games ripped off from like 20 years ago. Pretty cool movie. Pretty violent. So warning on that. But
Thank you, Ronald. He says it should be Royale too.
I mean, it does sound cooler, but I think technically back in the old WWF days.
Fine, we'll do your WWF stuff.
By the way, this is before your time, but the Iron Sheik died yesterday. So RIP to the Sheik. So what we're going to do is you and me are going to referee a matchup between 20 potential inductees. 20 walk in, only 10 will survive. And just an FYI, Dante Hall has already been named the 2023 inductee, so he's not going to be on this list. Let me rattle this off for you.
Let's get ready to rumble.
It's pretty good. You're like a third buffer, an honorary buffer. I think, man, if you can get that career, that's got to be a pretty lucrative deal.
Yeah, it doesn't suck. I think it's what, two? It's like him and now his son's doing it.
There's one other guy, or his brother, Bruce. But there's one other guy that does it or something like that. So you're talking like three guys out of 8 billion people. Your odds are not very good if you want to pursue that career path, but dream big, baby. So Jamal Charles, Tamba Ali, Willie Rofe, Eric Berry, Trent Green, Derek Johnson, Dale Carter, Larry Johnson, Frank Clark, Mitchell Schwartz, Alex Smith, Tyreek Hill, Eric Fisher, Tyrann Mathieu, Justin Houston, Carl Peterson, Joe Montana, Dick Vermeil, Dwayne Bowe, and Dustin Colquitt. Those are our 20. Sterling and I, we're going to hash this out. Only 10 will survive. Where do you want to start? With the most obvious or the furthest away?
So I think what I'm going to do here is it's not just how good you were, because that's a little too obvious, right? You got to say, what did you do here in Kansas City, obviously? So if you had a career outside of Kansas City, for example, Willie Rofe's in my book, but just for example, you can't take what he did in New Orleans and use that to put it here in Kansas City. It's just what you did in Kansas City. Let's do it, dude.
I agree. And
we have 10 spots, right?
Yeah. I think what you're getting at too is there's a little bit of narrative involved here. Like, what was their story in Kansas City? So because of that, I think that hurts someone like Larry Johnson.
Yes.
Who is incredible here, but left on a very sour note, let's say.
Let's go down the list one at a time and say yes or no. We have 10 spots, right? So let's go down and see how many we say yes or no to. Jamal Charles is a yes. I'm going to go ahead and say that's an obvious lock.
Correct? I think that's the easiest yes on the list for me.
Okay. Tamba Hali is going to be a little bit more difficult, but
entire career in Kansas City. He did not play a snap for another team. I think he had, he had something like he had a bunch of Pro Bowl selections. I'm going to probably myself weigh all pros higher than Pro Bowls, but
yes, of course.
He had a pretty consistent Kansas City career. And I just think he's a guy that gave his heart and soul to the city. And because of that, I'm leaning yes.
What's funny is I'm looking at this list. I think about the first six dudes I'm saying yes on. And then I have a long stretch of, I think, no's. But I'll go yes for Tamba Hali as well. So we got two in. Willie Rofe.
Yeah, he is in the Saints Hall of Fame. I guess the question here is, can you have a guy that's in like two Hall of Fames? Do we consider him a chief? We're going to run into this question again with Joe Montana, I think.
Willie Rofe was here 4 years, 2002 through 2005. But what really boosts him is he is known as one of the best offensive linemen in Chiefs history. One of them, right? Even if it's only a four-year stretch. NFL history, too, obviously. But again, we're just talking Kansas City here. That four-year stretch was incredible. You almost have to say yeah, right?
Yeah, I heard today on the Athletic Football podcast, friend of the show, Nate Tice, was talking about Priest Holmes. And that 2003, 2004, those 2 years of Chiefs offense, their running game, their success rate was at like 50%. It was the most dominant two-year rushing attack we've seen in a long, long time. They're almost as efficient as Mahomes is throwing the ball. It was just unreal. And I love Priest Holmes. But and I think that was a hell of a find by Carl Peterson to bring him in.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the Priest Holmes we know and love until he got behind Willie and Brian and Will and Casey and John, right?
Mm-hmm. So we're saying so far yes on Charles, Hali, and Rofe. We might have to go back at the very end of this and shore this out. But going to Eric Berry at four, I'm in on Eric Berry, honestly. I think I'm a yes on Eric Berry.
I mean, what did he have? Like three first team all pros, maybe the most inspirational comeback story we've ever seen before the unfortunate, illness. He was a generational talent who was playing like a generational talent.
So we got four guys. And again, I said the six I might say yes on. So this is what making it very hard on me to find four more spots. Eric Berry's a yes. Trent Green.
Whew. Where would you rank him among Chiefs all-time quarterbacks? Is he third? Is he fourth?
So you have Mahomes, fifth? Lynn Dawson. I think you can say Joe Montana, but as far as what they've done in Kansas City, Joe Montana didn't play here long enough, in my opinion, to get in. So sorry, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and just say it right now. I don't have Joe Montana making it in the Ring of Honor. He did not play here long enough. Trent Green spent how many years here? 12? Look it up.
Well, and the fact that he's still part of the community and, calls Chiefs games and he feels like a lifer. You know what I mean?
Man, he played 6 years here. That's it. Felt way longer.
That feels about right to me. Because
when you're a child and that's the quarterback you watch growing up when you're 7 through 14, that felt like a long time. Or 7 through 12, 13, whatever it is. It moved way slower back then. So it felt like it was a lot longer.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm out.
No, I hear you. When I was young, guys like Steve DeBerg – and whatnot. They felt like they were around forever, but they weren't. And trust me, when you're older and you watch Trent Green, it ended all too soon. Mm-hmm. And the Tyler Thigpen, Brody Croyle, Damon Heward, Matt Castle clusterfuck was excruciating to live through. So that makes me,
I'm going to say no right now. I'm going to say just on the outside looking in. I got to go down the list a little longer, but I truthfully thought he played here longer. Okay. I'm not, hey, dumbass. I thought he played a little longer. He did not, 6 years. I'm going to say no just for right now.
Okay. One last point on Trent Green before we move on. He obviously had Tony Gonzalez, but outside of Eddie Kinnison, I just don't think he had that great of arsenal of skill players, of receivers during his time. Obviously he had the running backs and Priest Helms was tremendous. So just one note there. Mm-hmm. How you feeling on DJ? Pretty easy, right?
Yeah, that's an easy end.
Didn't end up as a Raider, you know, the same as Jamal Charles. I wish I could Men in Black myself and forget that image, but he didn't play there very long.
By the way, I'm going to say this already. I have Trent Green ahead of Alex Smith on my list. So once we get to him, there's your info right there.
Better player.
Better player and longer here. And it just felt like I love Alex Smith. I really do. And the success was here, but the playoff success still wasn't here. It was almost the only very Trent Green-like, right? He had a lot of regular season success, but no playoff success. And then Mahomes obviously broke the curse. So bad for him out there. But Dale Carter is interesting, okay? Dale Carter played for Kansas City for 7 years. He was NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, two-time second-team All-Pro here in Kansas City, a four-time Pro Bowler. Man, what do you think?
I was surprised he's not on.
Yeah,
I thought James Hasty might not have made it, but they were a great, great twosome back in the day. I'm kind of a maybe on Dale Carter. It just depends if we have room.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But those accolades are he's definitely on the inside track. Okay.
Yeah.
I know you have, I think you said you have Trent Green in yours.
I'm not sure. I do have him above Alex Smith because, sorry guys, I'm not putting you in the Hall of Honor for being a mentor. I'm just not. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate that, but this is the Hall of Honor. This is like, you have to, you know, you have to make some cutthroat calls.
So
LJ?
Out. Larry Johnson, no.
Yeah. He just, the way he ended here off the field and everything, I think left a sour taste in everyone's mouth.
Hey, I will say Swiss Mr. KC. He says Dale Carter has to be in. I have Dale Carter currently as number six on my list right now. So Dale Carter is in. He's ahead of Trent Green right now. No, Larry Johnson. Frank Clark.
Man, I'm a no on Frank, but I'm putting myself in the crosshairs there. But I think when we have a little distance, we might be romanticizing him less.
I think so too. The playoff numbers are obviously phenomenal, but he's
and the vibes. There are a lot of vibes, right?
Great vibes. We'll see. He's a question mark for me, but probably on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell Schwartz.
I think he's in.
Yeah.
And here's my argument for Mitchell Schwartz. Were you the best at your position in the entire league? And did you play here for a while? He was the best right tackle in the league. If not the best, the second best. And he won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And he played flawlessly in that Super Bowl, in that playoff run.
Yeah.
So he would be one of the easiest yeses on my list.
Yeah, you can't just say it's tough, but if you were good in the playoffs like Frank Clark is, but you kind of disappeared in the regular season – you got to take the whole picture here. Mitchell Schwartz was so good for so long. Again, as you mentioned, the best right tackle in football. I think Schwartz is in for sure.
I'm out on Alex Smith.
I
really like him. I really like him as a person. I admire the hell out of him. Just, you know, the guys ahead of him are better. We're better Chiefs.
Yeah. I love Alex Smith. but I don't see him in the Ring of Honor personally. Sorry, the Hall of Honor. Tyreek Hill, I think, has got to be a yes. He's the best wide receiver in Chiefs history. Him and Otis Taylor. I mean, you can go back and forth, but if you look at the accolades, it might be Tyreek Hill.
There's an argument that he's the deadliest, most dangerous deep threat in league history, him and Randy Moss. The only thing with Tyreek, you never know how this guy is going to end his football chapter. I mean, I hate to say it, but I just get this Antonio Brownish feeling from him that things are not going to end well for Tyreek. Would that affect your decision at all?
As of now, no, unless he literally goes off the deep end, but it's really tough to.
What did he have? Like three all pro selections in Kansas City?
Yeah, it was, you look at the accolades, he's been the most productive wide receiver in Chiefs history. It's kind of tough to keep him off the list.
Yep.
I mean, it's been him and Otis Taylor. There's your 1-2. I know it's fun to say no right now because he went to Miami, all that stuff, but it's tough when you have the accolades that he has to say no.
And also, if you're going to put Carlos Carson in, I believe he's in the Hall of Honor, you kind of have to put Tyreek. You have to be consistent, right? Mm-hmm.
So we're both yes on Tyreek. So far, that's 8. We might have to go back and readjust our list. Next two guys, I'm going to say no to both. Eric Fisher and Tyrann Mathieu. I like Eric Fisher a lot. Can't get there with Eric Fisher. And Tyrann Mathieu had a phenomenal 2 years. Great 2 years. Not long enough. That third year, in my opinion, doesn't validate. Even if he was phenomenal that third year, then you're probably having a legit conversation. But I'm out on Tyrann Mathieu and Eric Fisher.
Yeah, it hurts me. I'm a big fan of the Honey Badger. And I think if they would have won back-to-back titles, like if they would have won that game in 2020, that probably would have been enough. But I agree with you. He just wasn't here long enough. It sucks because I do think he was probably the greatest free agent acquisition in franchise history, but longevity matters here.
Speaking of longevity, Justin Houston.
Is he ever going to retire? I mean, he is durable as hell. Like, what are you eating? What's your training regimen? Like, tell us, dude, we need to know.
What's interesting is, does he want to be in the Chiefs Hall of Honor?
Yeah, I think time heals all wounds. You know, there have been guys like Tony and Neil who kind of left with some bad blood and the fans being upset, they were upset, and things are kind of on a good page now. So I he's pretty high up there on the all-time sack leaders list for the Chiefs. I was surprised how high he was. But, I mean, we forget those years. I mean, he had 20-something sacks 1 year.
22.
One of the highest totals in league history.
Man, I got to say yes to Justin Houston. And I know Tamba Hali, I see that Latrell in the chat says Houston over Hali. You almost have to. Houston was the better player.
He was, but did he give more to the city and the organization? Tamba Hali is the rare lifelong Chief, played well for over a decade. That's a hell of a story, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It just comes down to do you go with the production, the player, or do you go with the package of Kansas City, right? It is the Chiefs Hall of Honor, and maybe you do go with Hali over Justin Houston, but right now I have both those guys in. All right, I have one spot left. This is going to make it very hard because there's a couple of names I want to get on there. Carl Peterson, is he in or out?
He's in, man. This to me is an outrageous snub. I know some people don't like King Carl, but let's look at it objectively. Before his hire, the team had one playoff game in 17 years. They were struggling to sell season tickets. There was no atmosphere. There was no Arrowhead mystique. And his personnel decisions and marketing acumen created the culture that we know and love. So if you put Marty in 2010, the guy that brought him in and helped him build those teams, you got to put King Carl in too. You got to put in Carl Peterson. I think it's going to be a damn shame if he doesn't get in while he's still alive.
I think so too. I'm somewhat the same boat. And if you read Tim Grunard's book, View from the Center, which he's been on the show a few times, if you want to get that book, I highly recommend it. But he talks about the culture And that is part of this. This is, again, the Chiefs Hall of Honor, and he was instrumental in the Kansas City culture of bringing back and being having the players as almost part of the fan base, right? Having mm-hmm. the fan base and the players have that connection, the Chiefs Kingdom mantra, if you will. I think you have to put Carl Peterson in.
Yeah. Easy call for me.
Joe Montana, both out on, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm at 10 right now. How many do you have?
About the same. I think we've been almost in unison the entire time.
All right. Vermeil.
Oh, I just don't think he was here long enough. I love the guy. I think he's an amazing human being. I love those teams, but.
How many years was he here?
Not as long as Green, I don't think, because Saunders took over for him, right?
Yeah, but only 5 years. I gotta say no. That's tough too. All the reasons you said, but only 5 years.
Yep. Dwayne Debo.
Oh man. Dwayne Bowe is tough.
Yeah, and I think one thing that we should consider out of fairness to Dwayne Bowe is who was throwing him the rock, mm-hmm. right? This guy wasn't playing with Trent Green. He wasn't playing with Patrick Mahomes. He's playing with some really bad quarterbacks most of the time. And I want to say he led the league in touchdowns playing with Matt Castle.
Yeah, he had 15 that year. Man,
I don't have him in, by the way, but it I had to think about it. And
I think he's extremely close, but I'm going to have him right now in that next bracket. Okay. Bo's in that next bracket for me. I already have 10 because the next guy is an automatic lock for me. And that's Dustin Colquitt. I think Dustin Colquitt's for sure. Yes.
If you're talking about longevity and being one of the best at what you do, I'm not going to dock him for being a punter.
And for being so ingrained in the Kansas City community.
Yeah. I'm not sure Tommy Townsend really appreciates that too much, but he is still very much part of the fraternity of Chiefs players and just the Chiefs culture in the city. So what do we have? We have 11, 12?
I have 11 right now. I have Jamal Charles, Tom Bahali, Willie Rofe, Eric Berry, Dustin Johnson, Dale Carter, Mitchell Schwartz, Tyreek Hill, Justin Houston, Carl Peterson, Dustin Colquitt. I have Trent Green, Frank Clark, and Dwayne Bowe just on the outside looking in.
On the bubble.
So I have 11 right now. I got to take one out. I'm not sure who it's going to be yet.
My instinct is Dale Carter, but I don't want to have recency bias. And he played a huge role on an elite defense at a premium position, So it's. Who else are candidates to drop here? You said Justin Houston?
Justin Houston's probably the closest one. I keep seeing everyone talk about Tyreek Hill. I get it, guys. I get it. I understand your frustration. I get it. But the accolades don't lie.
It's going to be like Tony G and Neil Smith, I'm not even thinking about taking Tyreek off.
Yeah.
I would say that Tyreek Hill is one of the 10 best, most talented, best players this franchise has ever had.
Yeah.
So... for me, it's Justin Houston, just because of the way his story went, didn't spend that long of a time here. Or Dale Carter. You have any other ideas on someone we could pull off? Willie Rofe?
Because of longevity, it's 4 years.
And saying that he's more Saint than Chief, kind of like Joe Montana, who's more 49er than... Yeah.
Oh.
I think that might be easier, just saying he's in another Hall of Fame, so he's disqualified. He's a Saint. He's not a Chief.
I see this question. You say Larry off-field issues, but Tyreek, it's okay. I think what Larry Johnson's a great running back, but Larry Johnson's not above Priest Holmes, Jamal Charles, in the Chiefs' grand scheme of things. Tyreek
Hill. What about Kimble Anders, though? Kimble Anders just got in, so yeah, it's kind of like...
Yeah. The thing, I wouldn't have major qualms if he got in, personally. I get it. But we're talking about the 10 here, and I wouldn't have him in my top 10. I don't think Larry Johnson's close in my eyes.
He did have a two-year run that was just one of the craziest runs ever seen in the NFL.
2 years. Tyreek Hill was maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL. He was top five for 5 years, 4 years, right? Like, there you go. That's why. I understand the off-the-field stuff. I understand how he left. He was too talented to leave off this list.
The off-the-field stuff, primarily, I'm not excusing it by any means, but it primarily happened before he arrived in Kansas City. Based on what we know, I know there was another controversy that never amounted to anything. Larry Johnson, the way he left, his ending here was very, put a sour taste in everybody's mouth. So I think it's a different situation.
Yeah. Of these 10, it comes down to Rofe and Houston, but I'm going to go with Rofe being my number 11. I hate to do it because I bleep and love Willie Rofe. He's my number 11 because 4 years, the majority of his time was with the Saints.
Yeah, if we're going to say Vermeil, you don't get in, some of these other guys that weren't here for very long, like the Honey Badger, who Willie Rofe was great, but Tyron delivered a Super Bowl. So I think if we're going to exclude Vermeil and Matthew on those grounds, then Willie Rofe can't make it either.
How close is Eric Berry for you? Eric Berry played how many actual seasons here? Eric Berry played before injuries. He played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 before one game, two game. But he only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons where he was healthy. We played.
Yeah, but how many games. First team, how many all pro selections did he have?
Three.
First team?
All pro one. Yes.
I mean, I think when you have his story, like, we're going to have a riot in the comment section if we don't put Eric Berry in.
He's in there.
He is cherished by the kingdom.
I love Eric Berry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the most memorable plays, I think, in franchise history was that touchdown return in his home city of Atlanta against the Falcons. Yeah. Mm. Got to put Eric Berry in. I think it's Rofe just on if we're being consistent and saying, is Joe Montana a Chief or a 49er when it's all said and done? And because Willie Rofe is in the Saints Hall of Fame and played longer in New Orleans, I think he's a Saint, not a Chief.
Yeah, I think I'm going with that too. I think we're going to agree.
So let's go down our final 10. We have Jamal Charles, Tom Bahali, Eric Berry, Derek Johnson, Dale Carter, Mitchell Schwartz, Tyreek Hill, Justin Houston, Carl Peterson, and Dustin Colquitt. Those are our 10.
Yep. It's tough, man. It's really, really hard. I thought it wouldn't be as difficult to do this. I really thought, okay, yeah, 10, half of them. Sure, Rick, we can do this. Man, was this hard.
Yeah, and I really like Kimble Anders, but I almost think you could make an argument for every single player on this list over him.
Yeah.
And I think wasn't he the last selection? I don't get that, but you know, props to Kimble Anders. He's a very good player. And hopefully a lot of these guys get in.
Yeah, it's very cool. Kansas City is such a storied franchise. It really does make it does put into perspective the storied franchise that Kansas City truthfully is. And we're going to see a lot more going with the Super Bowl. How much boost are we going to see from guys like Frank Clark? How much boost are we going to see from Tyrann Mathieu? How much boost are we going to see from maybe L'Jarius Sneed and everything's all, you know, you just, we're going to start seeing this Super Bowl team. What's going to happen with these guys? That is going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, the problem with this list and all these guys knocking on the door wanting to get in is Mahomes is getting in, Chris Jones is getting in, Travis Kelce is getting in, Andy Reid is getting in, and honestly, probably at this rate, Brett Veach is getting in.
Yep.
So you have some guys that are definitely shoo-ins coming up. Are you excited about Dante Hall?
And oh, yeah.
One question before we go, because I've heard this asked about Devin Hester too. Do you think guys like Devin Hester and Dante Hall should be considered for the Hall of Fame, given that they were the best to do it in NFL history? Not as lucrative as a position, not something you can do for 10 years, unless you're Cordero Patterson, I guess. But
I think they should be in.
Yeah.
I do. I don't see why not. I mean, literally, they was Dante Hall and Devin Hester were game changers. I get it. It's not it was eventually like they probably will, because like closers in baseball, right? For the longest time, closers were not even considered. You pitched one inning in a game, you weren't a starter. No chance. You were a failed starter. You know, you were a quote unquote failed wide receiver. You're a returner. No, you can't get in, but I think they should. I honestly think they should. There should be a spot for those guys. I also think more kickers should go in, by the way. I think it's there's two kickers, Morten Andersen and Jan Stenerud. That's it. Or is Vinatieri like in now? I don't know if Vinatieri got in yet or not.
I don't think he's gotten in yet. I imagine he will. You know, with the rules changes with kickoffs and everything, I imagine we're going to see less touchdowns returned over time. And guys like Dante Hall and Devin and Hester will just look better in hindsight every single year.
Yeah. And I see one last thing. Shame on you, Sterling, for leaving Willie Rofe off the list. Hey, Chris, Adam did too. It's not my fault, okay? I want Willie Rofe in there. Willie Rofe was an anchor on one of the best offensive lines, maybe the best offensive line in NFL history. I get it, but it was those 4 years. That's what it came down to.
We needed a reason to eliminate a few guys, and saying Joe Montana is in the 49ers Hall of Fame and Willie Rofe is in the Saints Hall of Fame, those guys are going to be remembered that way, was an easy out. But that is all we have for you guys on this episode of Wacky Wednesday. Until next time, go Chiefs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.